See what Jesus says in John 5:19. Very important truth. Where was his humility seen? His humility is seen in the Son can do nothing of himself unless he first sees the Father doing it. Whatever the Father does, the Son does in the same manner. And he goes on from that to say, because whatever I do, I'll bungle up something if I do something without seeing the Father doing it. Therefore, verse 30, I will do nothing on my own initiative. Do you know what initiative means? Something that starts with me. That means I don't consult anybody. I do it on my own. Jesus said, I never do it. I always consult my Father. Not always asking, but a spontaneous life, which, you know, like the branch in the tree, always dependent, 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 without always asking, just constant dependence, nothing on its own initiative. Branch saying, I don't produce a single fruit on my own. I lean on the tree, and the tree produces the fruit. That's what Jesus is saying. This is his humility. I can do nothing of myself. You've heard me many times quote the example of Jesus. You know that man whom Peter and John healed, Acts chapter 3, lame man. It says he was lame from childhood, and for 40 years he'd been lame, and they'd been laying him at the door of the temple for so many years. Can you imagine the number of times Jesus walked by him? Walked by that same man at the beautiful gate of the temple. And he would stretch out his hand to Jesus and say, give me some money. And Jesus did not say, silver and gold I have none, like Peter. He told Judas, give him some money. Next day he comes, same man says, Judas, give him some money. For 3.5 years, Judas, give him some money, give him some money. Why didn't he heal him? The Father said, no. We have the idea that, oh, somebody's sick, I must have compassion and heal him. Jesus did not act on compassion. And you and I must not act on compassion if you want to follow Jesus. On hearing the will of the Father. I have given money to people out of compassion, which I have regretted. It looked like compassion. It's like helping the prodigal son who is far away from the father's house, and I keep on feeding him and he never goes back to his father's house. Is that an act of compassion? It's an act of stupidity. Let that fellow suffer. Let him eat what the pigs are eating until he repents and goes back to his father's house. That is divine wisdom. That's what I learned about God there in that story. God is so loving that he wants his son back to him, fellowship with him, so he does not send him money. He does not send him food packets. Stupid Christians will go and give him food packets and money to make sure the fellow goes to hell. But God loves him so much, he doesn't want him to go to hell, so he does not send him food packets, he does not send him money. How many Christians have that wisdom? I find very, very few. Because they do things in their own initiative. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Father. But no, I don't have to wait to proceed from the Father. I can do things on my own. I've studied the Bible enough. I'm a mature Christian. Now I've got compassion. I want to help this person. Okay, go ahead. I'll tell you, when Christ comes again, we will see how many problems we caused among God's people with our not seeking God to know whether what I should do in this case. Because we are so proud. Why do I have to consult God? I know all the rules. I live by rules. That is going back under the law. Jesus never lived by the law. He lived by, when you're hungry, if you have power to turn stones into bread, can you turn stones into bread? Yeah, if you're a human being, yes. Jesus said, no. I've got power to turn stones into bread. But I will not use that power. I'll use it to bless others. He used it to help 5,000 people to turn, multiply bread. But when it came to himself, Father, what did he say? No. And even there, the Father said, he asked the Father. Father said, yeah, make for them. And he made bread for them. He lived by the Father. So this man is laid at the gate of the temple. If Jesus had healed him, he would have got up and walked. And maybe one or two people would have got converted. And then when Peter and John came by later, there was nobody there. But when Peter and John healed him, you read later on in the next chapter that 5,000 people got converted. Imagine Jesus could have spoiled that by doing something out of human compassion. I better heal him. I've got power. Let me heal him now, right now. That's a classic example. So, that's one mark of Jesus' humility. I have the power to heal this man. Father, shall I do it? And the father says, no. Well, let me give you another example, which is even more striking. You know the story where, it's just in the same John chapter 5 earlier. Jesus went to a sheep pool called Bethesda. And these lay a multitude of people who were, verse 3, sick, blind, lame, withered. How many do you think is a multitude? Will you call 10 people a multitude? Will you call 15 people a multitude? A multitude means must be at least 100 people there, minimum, crowding around this lake where, or this pool where once in a while an angel would come and stir the waters, and the first person who jumped in would be healed. And immediately a clever person says, why did God heal only the first person? You know the answer to that? Who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Got it? Please remember that answer whenever you have a question about why God does some things in a certain way. Why didn't God heal my child? Why did that child die? Get the answer in Romans 9. Who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Take your position as a human being. Okay? There was this man who had been ill for 38 years, verse 11, verse 5. And Jesus goes there and asks him, do you want to get well? He said, I have nobody to help me. Jesus, get up, pick up your pallet and walk. And immediately, verse 9, you got to use your imagination a bit. Just, you know, shut your eyes and imagine the pool of Bethesda, hundreds of people hanging around the pool. It's not a big 1 square mile area. It's a small pool, all these people crowding around. And Jesus coming there and they hear him talking to this man. Who's, they all know him, lying there for 38 years. Get up and walk. And all these people hear him. They see him getting up and walking. What would you do if you were one of those blind, lame people there? Tell me. You'd say, hey, Jesus, I'm here too. I know I'd do that. Jesus walks away. Doesn't he have compassion for all the other multitude of people? Like these people who helped the prodigal son and the pig's farm with compassion. Doesn't Jesus have compassion on all these? Doesn't he have power? Why does he leave them all there, sick? Who are you, O man, to question God? Why didn't he do it? I'll give you the answer. He had no word from the Father to heal those 100 people. He never felt he had the power. The power was with the Father. The Son can do. Later on he explains it. In the same chapter he explains it. In verse 19. I can do nothing unless the Father tells me to do it. And the Father told me to heal one man, I healed him. And the rest of the people, I didn't heal. Have you seen the connection between verse 19 and what happened in the pool of Bethesda? That is the answer to what happened earlier in that chapter. The Son can do nothing of himself. That's his humility. Today there are so many healers who say, I've got the power to heal. I'm going to heal all of you. Come on. You know, the hoaxes that go on. They have not understood John chapter 5. If there was one person who had the power to heal everyone, it was Jesus. And there were times when it says he healed all of them. Because he heard the Father. And here's the time when he healed 1 out of 100. Most people don't understand that. This was the greatest healer who walked on this earth. Humility. 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 I can do nothing. I will not do anything without the Father prompting me. The greatest men of God I have known on earth are not the greatest preachers. No. It's the ones who have always had this attitude, even if they don't say it. Let me pray about it. Let me pray about it. Now that's a very pious thing to say, I know. Let's pray about it. It's a very sanctified, holy thing that people say. But I mean an attitude where say, shall I do it? me pray about it. Should I help this person? Let me pray about it. Most people don't do that because they're so full of themselves. They say, I've got the money, I've got the resources, I'm going to help that person. Okay, go ahead. That's because you're not spiritual. Jesus was spiritual. He said, I won't do anything. I know all these people need healing. But if the Father says no, I say no. That's it. And I see today also, so many people are sick. I prayed for some people who are healed. I prayed for many other people who are not healed. I don't know why. I don't question God. Not at all. Dear brothers and sisters, here we see the humility of Jesus. Jesus says, learn from me. In everything, learn that man lives by every word that proceeds from God's mouth. That is one of the greatest lessons to learn. And it is the first, listen to this, the first spoken word in Jesus' ministry. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's how Jesus lived all his life. And the humble man recognizes that. That is why I've said for years, brothers and sisters, develop the habit of listening, listening, listening. Learn to listen to God from early morning when you get up. Learn to listen to God and keep that listening ear throughout. We don't do it perfectly, but if we practice more and more, we'll develop it more and more.